Radio Prague News.
President Zeman will not be attending the military parade, which is part of the end of the war celebrations in Moscow. The Czech army is planning to recruit close to 2,000 new soldiers this year. And according to the STEM polling agency, Finance Minister Andrej Babiš is the most trusted politician in the country. President Miloš Zeman, who is to visit Moscow for the celebrations marking the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, will not be viewing the planned military parade, his spokesman Jiří Ovčáček said at a press briefing in Prague on Friday. Mr. Ovčáček said that at the time of the parade, President Zeman would be meeting for one-on-one talks with the Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico. The Czech president will join other foreign dignitaries in laying a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at the Kremlin wall. The Czech president's planned trip to Moscow at a time when most EU heads of state have declined the invitation over Russia's policy in Ukraine has evoked a great deal of controversy in the Czech Republic. The government even postponed a decision on whether it would cover the cost of the trip, indicating that this would not be possible were the president to attend the planned military parade, which is seen as a show of force underscoring Russia's dominance in the region. Czech political leaders have welcomed the president's decision. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said it was a wise decision that opened the way for the government to approve the financing of the president's trip. Christian Democrat leader Pavel Bielobrádek, whose party first raised the issue in the cabinet, welcomed the move, saying the president had made the right decision. And similar reactions have come from the opposition benches. The Czech army is planning to recruit around 1,800 new soldiers this year, according to the army chief of staff, General Petr Pavel. The general said recruitments of a similar size would continue in the coming years until the army had raised the ranks of its professional soldiers from the present 21,000 to 27,600, which is the optimal number in view of the army's role and NATO commitments. Petr Pavel said the army had suffered severe budget cuts in the past years due to the former government's austerity program, and some units were drastically undercut. The general stressed that while the Czech army's strength lies in its chemical unit and passive surveillance systems, the army must maintain a high level of professionalism in all areas. Finance Minister and leader of the ANO party, Andrej Babiš, continues to top the ladder as the most popular politician in the Czech Republic, according to the results of a poll conducted by the STEM agency. Mr. Babiš enjoys the trust of 64% of those polled, down by 8% from a previous survey. He is followed by Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, whose current trust rating is 54%, and Defence Minister Martin Stropnický, who got 52%. Despite often coming under fire over a possible conflict of interest, the Czech finance minister, who owns a multi-billion crown business enterprise, has consistently topped the popularity ladder since January of last year. The number of Czechs on social networks is on the rise, according to figures released by the Czech Statistics Office. In 2014, approximately 3.5 million Czechs used them, which amounts to 37% of the population. 5 years ago, it was less than a million people. The most popular social networks are Facebook, YouTube, Twitter and LinkedIn. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend should bring clear skies and day temperatures reaching 20 degrees Celsius in places. I'm Danielle Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Czech brides are in high demand from men seeking to find a legal way into the European Union. We'll take a look at some of the main business stories of the week, and later we hear about a Czech company that's making copies of rare historical books. All that's coming up in today's program. Czech women are increasingly being sought after as brides for the sole reason that marriage offers an easy route to a visa, residence permit, and eventually passport for those seeking to escape from their country of origin. The Czech police say the numbers of such often short-lived marriages are rising fast. Chris Johnston reports.
Unrest in large parts of North Africa and the evaporation of many hopes associated with the so-called Arab Spring have resulted in record flights of emigrants seeking a better life in Europe. One aspect of that flight are the boatloads risking their lives to cross the Mediterranean to Europe. Another is the perhaps much safer route of getting entry into the European Union via a targeted marriage, often pinpointing vulnerable women. And the Czech Foreigners Police is warning that an increasing number of Czech women are being duped into marriage by young, handsome and charming grooms abroad, whose only real target is the visa and passport that could come after the wedding ceremony. Once the goal of residency in the Czech Republic is attained, police say the early love soon sours and husbands soon have to quit their wives. Police say that 20 cases of such disappearing husbands have already cropped up since the start of this year. But they say they are on average investigating around 20 cases of suspicious marriages a month. Vladimir Takac of the Risk Analysis Section of the Foreigners Police described to Czech Radio the scenario followed by an increasing number of romances hatched under the bright holiday stars.
Tourists who are mainly visiting Tunisia, Algeria and Egypt come back and say they have formed a really meaningful relationship and want to get married and later live in the Czech Republic. A high proportion of the marriages do not work out and the husband often later disappears from the country.
A 18 až 20 případů měsíčně, kdy je podána žádost o prověrku těchto žadatelů.
Please describe how back on home ground, the marriages face problems that the husbands have difficulty finding work and fitting in, and the women are left with the responsibility for struggling to keep things together. In many cases, these are vain attempts, with the marriages soon becoming a clear sham. The husband, in some cases, brings over his previous wife and children from his homeland, or even a new bride. Sometimes these still infatuated wives ring up heavy debts and only face up to the mistake they have made when the husband eventually leaves. A web page, Blacklist Tunisco, is the medium for some women to share their experiences of attempts to pick them up at hotels and resorts in Tunisia. There are, of course, the other cases where false marriages are not founded on love and deception, but on greed, with Czech women agreeing to wed non-EU immigrants for substantial payments. Here, the police have more solid grounds for action. A Czech police squad broke up a Czech-Nigerian gang based in Prague, which is believed to have organised 27 such marriages. And cases are regularly reported in Britain where Czech women living there agree to fake marriages so illegal immigrants can stay in the country. Payment for such marriages can come to tens of thousands of pounds. Those conducting civil marriages ceremonies in Britain are supposed to report suspicious marriages to the police. In some cases, the reasons are pretty evident, such as when the bride and groom use mobile phone translation applications during the ceremony to communicate with each other.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. And now it's time for a look at some of the main Czech business stories of the week, for which I'm joined by Ruth Frankova.
Czech industrial production in February improved on January's 2.8% growth, rising by 4.5% compared to the same period last year, according to figures from the Czech Statistical Office released on Friday. The growth was mainly fueled by the increased production of cars and electrical equipment. The Czech Republic's construction sector, meanwhile, expanded by 6% year-on-year in February, and experts are predicting that the growth will continue throughout the year.
The Czech Office for the Protection of Competition has refused to cancel the results of a public tender for a license to grow medical cannabis. The winner of the public tender, Elkplast Slušovice, claims it can provide a gram of cannabis for 68 crowns. One of the unsuccessful bidders, Velvana, has filed a complaint against the results, arguing it's impossible to sell cannabis at this price. The State Institute for Drug Control can only sign a contract with the winning firm when the administrative procedure is completed. Cannabis can only be acquired using an electronic prescription and is provided to people suffering from multiple sclerosis, chronic pain and other ailments. Czech pharmacies started to sell the drug, which is now legally imported from the Netherlands, in mid-November.
The lower house of the Czech parliament on Friday passed a controversial new energy law. The bill was pushed through by a slim majority. Most coalition deputies voted in favour of the new legislation, while the MPs of the opposition Dawn Party, which was the biggest critic of the law, voted against. The draft law will, among other things, cushion the burden on industrial users for supporting renewable power. The National Energy Regulator, which has strongly opposed the new bill, has warned that it could trigger a massive drain on public and state resources. A controversial proposal, which would allow the division of existing solar power plants into several smaller ones, was not passed by the lower house.
The International Court of Arbitration in Paris has rejected the vast majority of claims by the Romanian companies Electrica and Energia against the Czech power company ČEZ. This is the third time ČEZ has managed to win an arbitration hearing. The Romanian firms have sought compensation of more than €81 million for the alleged failure of ČEZ to meet their obligations arising from privatisation agreements from the years 2005 and 2009, under which the Czech power giant privatised the Romanian distribution company Electrica Oltenia.
The cleanup of the environmental damage in the former Soviet Army military training ground in Ralsko, North Bohemia, has been completed. The operation, funded by the Czech Republic and the EU, started in 1993 and has cost nearly €500 million Czech crowns. The area of 250 square kilometres, which also includes the nearby Hradčany airport, was used by the Soviet Army between years 1968 and 1991 and was left heavily polluted, mainly by aviation fuel, oil and petrol. The region of Liberec is hoping to boost tourism in the area.
Now, in the final part of our programme, Jan Wellinger meets Tomáš Žilinčár, a man who's recreating rare Czech books. That's in this week's edition of The Arts.
Tempus Libri is a Czech company specializing in the production of authentic copies or clones of rare historic manuscripts, often of immense cultural value. To date, the most significant tome the firm copied is the Vyšehrad Codex, dating back to the Romanesque period. The manuscript, made up of 108 parchment folios, 26 of which are illuminated, focuses on numerous topics, including the genealogy of Christ. The Codex also depicts the first Czech king, Vratislav II, and features a reference to St. Wenceslas, the patron saint of Bohemia. Faithfully copying rare and national treasures requires both state-of-the-art technology and remarkable crafting skill in a number of different areas. Tempus Libri's Tomáš Žilinčár told me more at Czech Radio recently.
The most important step, once you have contracts and fees out of the way, is the exceptional digitalization of the manuscript. A moving robotic camera scans every single point on the page, and a single page can take 40 minutes to map. The utmost care is needed and, in the case of the Vyšehrad Codex, maximum security. The Codex may not be the oldest book in the Czech lands, but it is considered the most valuable, because it refers to the first Czech king to take the throne. It is, quite rightly, a national treasure. Not all manuscripts can be scanned, but digitalization in the case of the Codex was necessary. There was no other way a faithful clone of that particular book could have been completed.
There are two specialized centers in the country where top digitalization takes place. One is the National Library, where extremely rare books are scanned and manuscripts never leave the building, remaining in perfect conservation conditions. The quality of the scan can then also be checked on the spot for any mistakes or imperfections. Tempus Libre often cooperates with institutions like the National Library to bring clones to life.
As a company, we want to publish manuscripts which are commercially interesting, but it is often the case that we cooperate with existing institutions. Many of our orders for a particular manuscript come from public institutions. These can be rare tomes, where the original is too valuable to study on a regular basis, so authentic copies are needed. The copy needs to be of the highest accuracy in terms of content and appearance.
A great many steps to create the actual facsimile are needed, but once a perfect result is achieved, the manuscript must still be hand-bound and aged. Every last detail must match, down to imperfections and damage a manuscript suffered over the centuries. Stains or discoloration, worn pages, loose or even torn-out pages, grooves or scratches on the binding. The idea is not to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, just to make an identical copy. Tomáš Žilinčár again.
Člověk vnímá toto všemi smysly.
Anyone handling the book perceives numerous aspects, not just through sight, but also by feel. There can be no use of artificial materials. It has to feel authentic in the hands. We don't want to trick anyone into thinking it is the original. It must still be visually convincing. There, digitalization is crucial. Physically, we can then recreate each and every one of the book's anomalies, whether it is in the vellum or handmade paper. If an original has several pages which are bored through by a grub, we have to recreate the bore through each page, and the holes also have to line up.
Počítáme to víceméně na řemesla, které se na té knížce vystřídají, její desítky.
And another tricky aspect. The pages are printed on white paper in order to get the proper color balance. But that means that the foredge of the book is also glaringly white, which has to be changed. Every single page has to be hand-painted to create a dirtier or old-looking patina along the side. If you have a print run of 200 copies, you can imagine the amount of work a single volume takes. The Czechs have a saying, mravenčí práce, an ant's work. It is hard to think of a more painstaking profession. Tomáš Žilinčár says there's only a handful of people in the country who have the necessary qualifications. Many tasks are handled separately by different artisans. An especially majestic historic tome, for example, may have a heavy leather cover embedded with semi-rare gemstones or jewels.
Počítáme to víceméně na řemesla, které se na té knížce vystřídají.
The requirements vary from book to book, but most require work from a long list of specialists. Goldsmiths, engravers, gem cutters, needleworkers, bookbinders, and many others, like the tanner. A different kind of leather is needed if we're talking about the cover and about vellum. A great many professions are needed in the successful completion of a single manuscript.
A to všechno, jaksi jsou desítky řemesel, které se vystřídají na tom jednom produktu.
Each copy from a print run, which is kept relatively small for both financial reasons and to raise a product's collector's worth, has to be verified and receive certification of the highest order by independent experts across various fields. Each new release requires steady nerves, Tomáš Žilinčár explained.
Každá ta knížka má svoji součást, jako nedílnou součást.
Every single book we produce has a certificate of origin, stating the print run number and a clause that the book will never be reprinted by us. Then there is certification by academics, which states that the book is the best copy possible of the original manuscript. We consult every single technical aspect, every step of the way, so that by the time I take the book for final verification, I know it is the best it can be. Certainly, there are nerves. Before the final attestation, I may have thrown away 50 copies, which weren't good enough. A specialist can always say, it's good, but it could be better. And that means going back and beginning again.
50 vzorků předtím jsem úplně zahodil a šel jinou cestou. A jdu tam s tím nejlepším.
It is not surprising with the unparalleled level of expertise involved, hundreds of man hours and general upfront costs, a single volume of a rare or historic manuscript sells from between 250,000 to 750,000 crowns by the time it hits the market. Who are the buyers, or in some cases, the recipients? Tomáš Žilinčár again.
Not all the books in a print run of 200 go up for sale. Quite a few are given away to charities. Some are gifts for state occasions, visits by heads of state, or other key moments. And roughly 30 to 40% are sold abroad. And what remains is sold on the Czech market. State institutions, such as libraries and so on, often receive clones as gifts, which they either keep and use for their own purposes or eventually auction off to help fund other projects. Others who buy our books are collectors who want something very unusual, something you can't just get anywhere, someone who wants the very best. One example of a significant release we did recently was an authentic copy of the Kutnahora Bible, in Czech.
Vždycky něčím zvláštní a zajímavé. A samozřejmě si vybíráme ty nejlepší kousky.
Tempus Libri's clients are top managers and company owners as well. And most recently, TV celebrity and talk show host Jan Kraus, the Czech Republic's answer to David Letterman, received one of the firm's tomes as a gift.
And that edition of The Arts was by Jan Wellinger. If you have any comments about today's program, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.